Well, it's a big privilege again for me to be tonight here sharing with you God's Word. Tonight we're going to be doing something like it's not really usual. We're going to be preaching like for almost like 40 verses. So probably we can be leaving here 10 or 11 o'clock, but... So I just want to go into Acts 16, and let's just make some practical applications to our lives. Since this morning we were just talking about Psalm 112, and we were just looking, blessed man, fear the Lord, delight on his commandment. And then at the end we were just looking verse number 10, and that was the picture of that person. So tonight we just want to go ahead and see all of that putting together like in 40 verses here, and we can see and have a better picture, because sometimes we just go and see like, oh, things are getting bad, the church is getting attacked, the world is going really crazy, but sometimes we don't know why is that happening. And many times we just get like out of the picture of what's the reality going on outside there, and why many people are just having trouble and just facing many circumstances, and we sometimes just lose the point of what's the reality out there? Why is going on just that for many people? And something that I really thank God is for America. I give thanks to God for the way that all of you here can preach the gospel and just look where you are gathering, and just everybody's here and how families are united. And I really thank God for you all and for the protection that you have and the freedom that you have here in America. But sometimes we need just to know the reality that the Bible is just teaching us, and we just need to remember always this and have this in our head. So I just want to go here, and we're not going to read everything, so I'm just going to be quoting verses, and we're going to be making some practical applications to all of these verses. And I just want to start reading before just praying, 16:30, verse number 30, and says, then he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. Father, we come in front of your presence giving thanks. Thank you for giving your word. Thank you for putting all of this together for us. Thank you for letting us know all the greatest things that you have been doing in history through this great man, and how your gospel has been just going and advancing from time to time. Even we know Christianity is here, you're working, the devil is there and he's doing his job, but we know that we have you. So thank you for your word, and help us to understand all of this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Acts 16 is talking and having some stories here for us to know. Something that happened, the book of Acts is just the Acts of the Apostles, everything that the church was just going through, all of that. We have in Acts 2, everything that Peter was just there, and all the apostles and everybody, and how the Holy Spirit came there. And it was conversion all over. So we just see how the church was going, and how everything was being established, and how God was working through all of them. So we have all of those stories for us today in the book of Acts. And we just know how the church was established and everything that they went through. So in Acts 16, verse 11 on, we have some stories there. And the first one is the conversion of Lydia. Lydia was a lady, and we have the story just there, and probably you can just read all of this to all the kids later at home, and you can explain all of them the whole situation, because I know when I was growing up, my dad was always telling me all the stories. That was the easiest part for me to understand later the gospel. So I learned all the stories from the Bible. Oh yes, my dad was doing that work because, you know, we were little, and at some point, I just learned the Bible almost completely by stories. Where's this story? Oh, it's just there. Where they opened the Red Sea? Oh, the Red Sea and all of that. So that was for me the first way of knowing everything of this. So later when God was working in my heart, then I understand and I understood everything that my dad was teaching me. He was just putting a foundation there for when later we were just growing up and just looking at everything that was happening to our lives and our family, to my head always came back like, oh, that's why my dad was teaching me about Lydia. Oh, that's why my dad was telling me about when they brought them into prison. Oh, that's why my dad was telling me about Daniel and all his friends and this and that. So I encourage you all to try to tell your kids all of these stories from the Bible. Because when they will go and learn all of this, then they will know that they are not unique today facing problems. That all of these problems were with the people from the Bible. So this is a great story for you to tell to your kids and just read everything of this firsthand, like this is what was going on here. So here is this lady. She was a seller of things. We see that in verse 14. Once who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized and her household as well, she urged us to saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay, and she will prevail upon us. The first thing that happened is conversion. That's something that we, all of us, like to see. There's joy in heaven whenever a sinner repents. But that repentance is not going to come if God do not open the heart of the people. So that's number one. Salvation is just coming from God who opened the heart of the people. If all of us are here today, it's because God was the one opening our hearts for us to believe in Him. So this is great. Now we have salvation on this passage. There's a lady here that God opened the heart of this lady. God was working on her. Everything happened. God baptized, and she said, well, now you need to come to my house. It's great. How many of us would like to see salvation in our days? That's our hope. That's what we're praying for. That's why we share the gospel. If there's a believer at any one of the corners here on this town, I hope that everything that you desire, it would be salvation to happen on this place. That's like the main purpose. That's why we just go and witness for everything to our families. We talk to them, we get to our neighbors, and whatever, we just go and start talking. I was with Pastor Ventura the other day getting something there at the restaurant, and he didn't miss just 1 second to talk to the person and try to share about God. That's like the main reason why we are here. That's like the main reason why God has been choosing us to, okay, come, I'm saving you. Now you have a mission. Just go and preach the gospel. And that's like the main reason what was going on here. All the apostles and everybody was just preaching the gospel, and that was something really good. And everybody will rejoice. If we just say, oh yes, now there's a new person that God opened the heart, and now he's here with us. There's joy in the heaven and joy here in earth too. Whenever we just have new visitors here, that's really good. So then we have the first part just covered here. God opened the heart. It was conversion. God baptized. And then now they are staying there. Everybody was really happy. That's excellent. That's like the main reason for us to be here. We want to share God with other people. Because that's one of the command. Just go and make disciples. So that's really good. Everything was going on perfect there. Then we have the second piece, verse 16. Then there's another story. And everything started that then Paul and Silas, they were moving out. They stayed there. They were really happy. And then they just start going to move into another place. But then they got a situation in that passage. So they start looking for a lady there that she was making. She was just, there were some people making money out of her. And she was just doing some work for them. What happened after that? Well, what do we expect? Here is again the same thing. Salvation happened. Everybody just rejoiced, and we are really happy for that. What happened after that? So, verse 19, we're going to read from there on. But when her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. Number one, here is where everything starts. Now they are looking that the way that they were making money now is disappearing. First problem, when people see that they can lose money, work, positions, then they start looking like probably that's something really bad. So everything was really happy before with Lydia, then here is the second piece. And that's what we were just looking this morning. Verse number 10 from Psalm 112. It says that like they get angry. Here is not a there's not a better picture in the Bible from what is for them to get angry than this piece. They saw that everything was going away instead of being happy. Well, now here is this lady that is getting saved. Well, they don't get really happy. What they are saying is what? They brought them in front of the rulers. And when they had brought them to the magistrate, they said, "These men are Jews and they are disturbing our city." What's the reason? Why mixing two things that they don't have anything related one to the other? Then you start thinking like, okay, so salvation will be looked from the weak people as a big problem, as disturbing the city. Then now we know that every time that we start preaching the gospel, something is going to be going on. And today we saw this morning what happened with the person who is blessed. And then we will see, and we saw this morning, the reaction of the weak person. Now we have that picture just here. It continued. Then they advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Roman to accept or practice. This person then start just going like, well, they cannot do that because we're Romans. Then they start to put citizenship on this earth in first place, and then Christianity in a second place. How many of us just find many times that we are citizens of a country first and then second Christians? When what we need to do is to put God first, and the main reason that is salvation of sinners in first place. Here, these person are just coming, and the crowd join in attacking them, and the magistrate tore the garments off them and gave orders to beat them with a rod. How many times we just see that? We just know that from many countries. Are you, one question, sorry, are you live streaming? Are you recording? So, how many times have you seen this from many countries around the world? This is going all over. Thanks God that is, at least in the U.S., is not happening. Yet. But what we see here is what is going on. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Here we have then another piece of the story. In one piece, everybody was really happy. Come and stay in my house. Rejoice. Baptism. Everything was happening. In the second piece, then we have the great picture, what would happen when the wicked see what is going on and the work of God. Now we have here, in all of this summary, we have like the work of God in two, one here and another one here. One in front of the other. And for us, many times, we just want to see the first part from Lydia, and we forget about the second piece. Then we have the third story that starts in verse 25. And the third part says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. They were really happy. And the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bonds were in fastened. When the jailer woke up, saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword, and was about to kill himself. Here is what fear can cause. So he was just like, what is going on here? These prisoners that just be there, now they are gone, something really bad is going to happen to me. And then when you continue reading the whole thing, then is when we get to the last piece that we were just reading. It was salvation for the jailer and his family. Something really good on this story at the end is, or if we can put just the three of them together, we can make many applications from this. Number one, preaching the gospel is priority number one. Never stop of preaching the gospel, no matter the consequences. That's like the biggest one that we can get from here. What can we learn? Number one, that's number one. Never stop. We have three cases of salvation. In the three of them, I'm sure that joy was having in heaven, and all of them were really happy. But then we have the picture of what we were just talking this morning. Because probably this morning when you just read number 10, probably you were like, I don't know how that looks like. Well, here is the practical application of everything of that. When the wicked see you doing those kind of things, having the fruit of the Spirit at your house, peace, joy, love, when they see all of that going on, rejoicing, this is what is going to happen. The second piece is going to come. And then at the end, we have the third story, and that's what is just going there. So number one, as I said, the first application for us is never stop preaching the gospel. And why we cannot stop preaching the gospel? Well, because the problem is that if we just stop preaching the gospel, the one who opened the heart of the man is God, is not you or me. So if you close your mouth and if you don't speak, God is going to use whatever source for continuing saving sinners. So if we just stop, if we close our churches, if we just go home and if we don't want to get in trouble, I just have a bad news for you. God is going to use something to continue saving sinners. And that's why I want to be part of God's work. I just want to be there to continue preaching the gospel and do not stop. And that is like the main reason, the number one in all of these verses. Never stop of preaching the gospel. So number two that we can just see here. The second part is, after you start preaching the gospel, something is going to happen. In some cases, it's going to be rejoice. In some other places, a person wants to kill himself, like the jailer. In another place, the person next to the person that you are preaching the gospel is going to bring you in front of something. Or they are going to get really mad of you. How many times have you been just preaching the gospel or witnesses to a person, and you're talking to the person, and another one just come and say, hey, let's go. I have been in that position many times. I'm just talking to a person, the person is listening, but a third person will come and get really angry Because that person is listening to you. So even a person is listening, sometimes a third person is the one who is going to attack you because they don't want to hear that you are preaching the gospel. So, preaching the gospel so many times is going to happen, like the case with Lydia, where everybody will get really happy. That's number one. Number two, in other scenario, the third person is the one who is going to get against you. And in the last one, probably when you're preaching the gospel or doing God's work, somebody just wants to kill himself. In none of the three scenarios, we need to stop preaching the gospel. And as I said, there you have. You have three different scenarios for this. So many times we just want to see one. We just want to see rejoice. And that's the ideally one. And I love that one. But so many times we just see ourselves in the second. And so many times we see ourselves in the third one. And what is going to happen if we just see ourselves in that? As I said, number one, the first one application is, if you stop preaching the gospel, don't worry. The one who opened the heart of the people is not you, is not me, is God. So no matter if you stop or not, God is going to continue doing the work because it's not you, it's not based on you, it's not based on me, it's based on God. And this verse is really clear. He was the one opening the heart of Lydia to believe. It was not the apostles, it was not them. It was God. The third practical implication of all of this is that God is always going to save sinners. There was not a perfect person there. None of the three of them were perfect or the holy ones of town. All of them, they were sinners that God wants to save. And in the three cases, you see that all of them struggle in different ways. Lydia was just selling things. It was like an easy life. She was just around making businesses and this and that. And many times we think and we start choosing, who are we going to preach the gospel to? So many times we just go and say, well, I'm going to preach the gospel to the easy ones. Here we have three different examples. And in the three cases, God wanted to save sinners. Because the three of them were sinners. The first one was really easy. That's the one that all of us would want. Lady, just a person there, here, and there, really easy. Who wants to go into the second piece? A person who wasn't a slave, that people were making out money out of them. If we just bring that into today, this is one of the really complicated pieces. But who'd like to be on the third part? Who'd like to be on the prison? And then here God just said, I'm going to put it here, really difficult. And the way is that it says that they were praying and singing. How many of us, when we are in the middle of a really bad or sad situation, we just pray and sing? How many of us? So three different scenarios. Here we can see where God was working at the time of saving sinners. Three different places. Lydia was the easiest one. But how many times we need to go then into the second one? And the third one is the more complicated, but who knows who God can use in that situation to bring it into that one. But the main or the number, the reason, the biggest one is that God will decide where to put us to accomplish his plan. Because all the plan is salvation for sinners. None of them were perfect. None of them were the best people in town. None of them were really good persons to deal with. But the purpose of God is saving sinners. And if we are just today here trying to analyze each one of these verses and just talk about what's the main purpose for us as Christians today, I need to tell you, like, the main purpose is glorify God and to live forever for Him. That's the main one. But the second one is the command that He gave: go and make disciples. How are we going to make disciples? Here you have three places where to make disciples. Now we will say, well, okay, God, use me on the first one. But what is going to happen if Jesus just wants to use you on the second or on the third one? We need to know from the psalm this morning, Psalm 112, verse 10, what is going to happen? The wicked man is going to get really angry. Never expect to receive claps or something really good from people at the time of going to preach the gospel. Never wait for that. And that's something that we are really always trying to go. Every time, sometimes for us in Cuba, I always talk about this kind of thing. I like at some point here in the States how the husband and the wife, they together cook or being at the kitchen and they help each one to the other. Like in Cuba, men don't go too much to the kitchen and men don't cook a lot. So each one of them, they have their places and they just go and do different things. Here in the States, that's more working together. So how can we accomplish God's work? God's command of go and make disciples and praise God, fear God, and obey His commandments. How are we going to do that knowing about these three examples that God was just giving us in Acts 16? We just need to know that He will accomplish His plans no matter what is going to happen. And if God wants to use you or me to accomplish His plan, you need to be prepared and knowing the way that God works. It's not an easy thing. Salvation is something that is really, really, really difficult for us to understand. And that's why salvation just depends on God. He's the one opening the heart. He's the one putting in us the strength to go and preach the gospel. I'm amazed every time I just go and read each one of the here in the book of Acts. I'm really amazed, like, how these persons were just determined to go and do everything. They just go, start preaching, get in trouble, continue preaching. If you just go to and see the church in those days, they were hiding, just going away. But everything has one result, and is salvation for sinners through Christ alone. That's the main reason for us in our lives. Glorify God and live for Him. And go and make disciples to all the nations. Are you willing to go and make disciples and just using whatever of these three examples? Are you willing to let God use you in whatever of these, in each one of these scenarios? The first one, as we saw, it was really easy, really beautiful, Everybody rejoice, come and stay with us. That's the part that everybody likes. Come, I invite you to my house, let's go, let's celebrate. That's really beautiful. Celebrations, everybody wants to be there. On the second one, you see everything that they face after preaching the gospel and doing this. They beat them with a rod. In the third case, you see them like just going. In the third case, you see that they went to jail. They didn't care. They were singing and praying because they knew and believed in the God that was sending them to do that. Once we believe in God, once we trust in God, then we will just go and continue doing whatever He commands us to do. This man has been just going everywhere, planting churches, continuing doing the work that God has been sending them to do. And that's what we as a church, we need to do. Don't stop of preaching the gospel. Never stop of sharing to others God's grace. Never stop doing that. We can face number one, Lydia. We can face number two, hit with a rod. We can face number three, going to jail, looking at a person there that wants to kill himself. But in all of them, the result was salvation, and that's what we want to see. That needs to be our main reason why we want to share the gospel, is because we want to see God working. We want to see God's salvation. We want to see God opening the heart of the sinners. We want to see how God can work in the heart of the people. We just want to see that. And that's the main reason why we as a church, we need to continue doing the work of the gospel. So don't stop of doing the work of the gospel. Never stop, no matter the consequences. Just be firm in Christ. Knows that the people are going to be saved because God is going to open the heart of the people. If you need to face something, don't worry. We see all of this, but we want to see the result from God saving sinners. That's our main hope. I just want to encourage you to continue preaching the gospel. And whenever you see people just going through whatever kind of situation, just know that God is in control. And He's the one who is opening the heart of the people. We just only need to preach the gospel, no matter the consequences. Just go preach the gospel, and that's our main reason. Forget about the wicked man. He's always going to be there. God's work in the world is going forward. The evil part is doing their work. They are just there. Both of them are going. But we cannot stop our part. God has been giving us command, go, preach the gospel, and make disciples. And that's what we just want to do. We just want to surrender to God, and we just want to go and live for Him forever. Just go and preach the gospel, no matter if you face number one, two, or three. Just go and preach the gospel. Father, we come in front of your presence, giving you thanks. We don't have any more words to describe what is the way that you save sinners. We just only know that you opened the heart of these people. They were saved by you. Help us to be those people proclaiming your gospel and just preaching to the people. Give us strength. Put in us your heart, your desire to go and do your work. Thanks for this church and this place. Thanks for everything they are doing on this city. Thanks for the work of the gospel around the world. Thanks because you continue saving sinners. And we just want to be part of that. Help us to work for you and obey your commands and fear you. And even we know there's a wicked man there, we know that you are in control. And you will accomplish no matter what. You will accomplish your work. Thanks for sending Christ to die in our place. And thanks for the Holy Spirit in us to continue helping us to understand everything on the Bible and everything that you command us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.